Just a couple of follow-up questions, and I'm going to go through the slides with you. The data from Memorial, I must have missed that. So they came up with a negative correlation between IOs and outcomes?
Yeah, that was initial larger data set, and that was across cancer. It's weird because you have sort of conflicting data coming from the same institution, but in the lung-specific data, they did not see the decrease or the worsened outcomes. I think it goes to show that these data are rapidly evolving. And when you have limited sample sets and a lot of confounders, it's easy to get different results. I think we need to be careful not to read too much into one series, but really wait for more and more, especially real world evidence as it falls in.
I've kind of had the informal consensus. It seems like a consensus. There doesn't seem to be much relationship between COVID risk or complications and IOs. Is that kind of where you think it is right now?
I would agree with that. I think there was real concern. And based on a lot of hypotheticals, we were really worried about the fact that we might enhance immune responses and lead to this overwhelming cytokine release, potentially mediated by IL-6. But I don't think that's really borne out. And I feel very comfortable. There was some concern that if you had just started immunotherapy early in the course, we see that spike in cytokines really comes up faster as you're just initiating therapy, which is why I think some series looked at starting early in the course of immunotherapy versus people who had been on much later. But even people who had just started immunotherapy didn't seem to be a greater risk. So personally, I'm very comfortable with that if that's the proposed course of treatment.
Is there any data right now in terms of the risk of neutropenia as it relates to COVID?
So when we think of viral infections, we often think of lymphocytes as the main cells that protect us. And lymphopenia would be proposed, in theory, to be at a much higher risk. But there's a strange connection between neutrophils and lymphocytes, and reducing neutrophils can potentially promote the risk of other complications, certainly promoting the risk of superinfections. But even regarding the risk of COVID-19 complications itself, there does seem to be some risk, at least anecdotally, with neutropenia and poor outcomes.
So are you like being more cautious about your dosing of chemotherapy, for example?
I am. I think that's something to keep in mind, but that's for a couple of reasons. One, I want to keep the neutrophils up just to maintain defenses for everything. But I think more than ever, I need to keep people out of the hospital. And whereas they might have been a small risk for neutropenic fever, we would manage them in a few days and generally have very good outcomes. Here, it is really important that I keep that patient out of the hospital for the benefit of everyone concerned. And so even if the risk is small for neutropenic fever, I'm going to do everything I can to make that risk very close to zero.
We were doing a breast cancer program last night, and we're mentioning the issue of the CDK inhibitors. I don't know how familiar you are with them, but a couple of them, particularly the most common one used in breast cancer, palbociclib, are associated with these asymptomatic neutropenias. They almost never see a neutropenic fever. Would you expect that kind of neutropenia to be a problem?
I wouldn't think so. I think most paper toxicities probably don't have the same functional consequence. There's a lot of uncertainty, though. And everything we can to keep patients out of the hospital is important. But asymptomatic neutropenias, I wouldn't generally expect those to impact course.
Another question. I noticed when you put up the data on interval between treatment for Tezo, you had Q4 weeks. Is that commonly known and utilized, that it can be used every 4 weeks?
I don't think it is. When we look at the studies, we see Q2 weekly, we see Q3 weekly at 1,200 milligrams. But in May 2019, the FDA approved 4 weekly regimen of atezolizumab, and that's a cross indication. So for me, I adopted the 4 weekly regimen for all of my patients. A year ago, it was to reduce the exposure to our parking lots and traffic. And now it really is to keep patients away due to COVID concerns. The 4 week interval is one I'm very comfortable with. And you're right, I think it's not as well known that you can give atezo once a month.